T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Well, Ed, you hope for a little bit of excitement at off-season stories from mandatory minicamp, and Antonio Brown certainly gave you one yesterday. I'm trying to figure out what he said, really struggling to do it. Maybe you can give me a better interpretation.
Well, Ron, I wasn't there. Ray Fittipaldi covered that for us. I was working on a Randy Feetner story, but certainly I've read all the stuff since. I saw guys, it was a big mob around him. I saw guys coming up after that, journalists, if you will, and the media, TV, radio, and they were all shaking their heads trying to figure out what he just said. I think you have to laugh at Antonio more than you take him seriously.
Ed, do you think that Antonio deserved criticism from both ex-players and media for the comments he made about Bell at OTAs?
No, I mean, it's not. I think he was right in some of the things he said, that if, and that's how he did it, although he still had a contract at 1 year left. But he showed up for all the OTA practices when he was trying to get a new deal, and he got a new deal. So I think he was just trying to say to Le'Veon, hey, come do your thing, and things will work out. But, you know, after saying that, then he didn't come the rest of the time. So that's what people were pointing out.
Which makes me wonder, Ed, if something, you know, now maybe it's as simple, and I believe you told us this the last time, that since Ben's not there, he says, hey, I don't have to be there either. But he, more than any guy, lives and breathes practicing and working out. I don't think he's ever missed anything, has he, until this time?
No, he missed one of those weightlifting things that they have before the practices start. They get together and they work out in the spring. And he missed one that year. What was that, 2 years ago, when he was trying to get a new contract, and then he showed up for everything else. You're right, Ron, he does. He hates missing stuff. And we all were wanting the same thing. You know, what's going on here? Is he having some other issues somewhere? And he said, yesterday, he said, from what I've been able to discern from that he wanted more time with his family.
So do you think he bolted or left because Ben wasn't there?
I do. I still do think that, yes.
That's interesting, because if you're Mason Rudolph or Landry Jones, how would that sit with you? Would that bug you?
You know, I know I said that maybe he didn't want to catch passes from those guys, but I'm not sure if that's it, or if he just said, found out that, you know, he came to the first one, so did Ben. Antonio came to the second one, Ben wasn't there, and then Antonio stopped coming. I believe, and I don't know it for sure, but I do believe that when he found out Ben wasn't coming, he decided he wasn't coming either.
And, Ed, you know, I tried to answer this for Andrew earlier, too. Landry Jones has been around long enough. I think he just looks at Antonio like you just said. It's hard to take him seriously. He is what he is. The Boston Red Sox, your favorite baseball team, had a player years ago, Manny Ramirez, and the famous line about him was, Manny's just being Manny again, and that seems to be the case with Antonio. But they certainly love him on Sundays when he's catching those touchdown passes.
And that's why they put up with him. And I'll tell you another thing. I mean, he has a whole, what was described to me by one member of the organization, entourage at practices in the spring. Yesterday, two of his sons were there, little ones. His trainer was there all over the field, you know, making sure he's okay. It's almost looks like a TB12 thing. He had somebody else taking care of his kids, shooing them away from the sidelines. So, you know, it's he's different.
Ed, if I
just don't know how better to explain it.
If I could follow up on that Manny Ramirez analogy, you know, the Red Sox famously for people in Pittsburgh gave up on Ramirez, and it ended up being a deal that sent Jason Bay to the Red Sox. So they ran out of patience with him. For as good as he was, they just started to think like the extra stuff outweighed the production. Do you get any sense at all that the Steelers are either running out of patience or are frustrated with either Brown or Bell in the way they conduct themselves?
Well, I'm sure there's some frustration, but let's remember that Art Rooney, a year and a half ago, labeled Antonio Brown's antics, including the Facebook Live, which really set off Mike Tomlin from that locked playoff victory in Kansas City in the locker room, little distractions. So I don't think that I don't think it's nearly reached that point. And Le'Veon, I mean, there's nothing wrong with Le'Veon other than you know, a couple social media things and also the you know, the contract stuff. And Lord knows they've had those things before with contracts. You can go back to when Lambert was holding out at training camp.
Ed, why do you think Le'Veon tries to play that "I'm a target, I'm a villain"
victim
role here? Why are people picking on me? Why, you know, why is everybody against me?
I have no idea, Ron. Really, my dealings with Le'Veon have been good. I think the other media who cover the team will tell you the same thing. He stands there in the locker room. He gives us time. He gives us good answers to our questions. He doesn't try to avoid topics. And, you know, what he says on social media, I don't even know where it's coming from. Maybe it's coming from people on social media. Maybe he's reading that stuff. I don't know.
Ed, the irony of what Brown said regarding freedom is that I don't know if a player in the league has more freedom than him to pretty much do what he wants, to dance, to, you know, get involved in the social media stuff that he does. Do you think that the freedom the players have on this team to do what they want and say what they want, trickling down from what the head coach said to Dungy during last season, do you think that freedom has an adverse effect on them?
Well, they did go 13-3, so we have to figure, you know, take that into account. They were involved in 9 close games of 6 points or fewer and won 8 of them. Some to some lesser, some big underdogs, good underdogs, let's say that. And then they got rubbed out on defense by Jacksonville. So I don't know. Seriously, I don't know. I think they have some restrictions on stuff in New England. And they seem to have more freedom here. Mike Tomlin has said he can't police that stuff, that social media stuff. Although he was livid over the Facebook Live thing by Antonio Brown. So they have freedom, and I don't know where Antonio's coming from that. Like I said, I laugh at it. I mean, there's a guy who courts the media, you know, was on Dancing with the Stars. You know, everybody knows his history of his antics and his Instagram and his Facebook Live stuff. I mean, he's not bashful when it comes to the media.
He's built his brand, Ed. Business is booming. I mean, he's used it to his advantage.
He has his own personal, I believe it's I'm getting in an area where I'm not even very good at, Instagram photographer at training camp, at these OTAs, and then they post all this stuff. He was posting where he was working out. Then he was complaining that people
fans showed
showing
up,
up
I know,
where he was working out.
Hilarious. Ed, let me that was unbelievably
can
bizarre.
Can I ask Ed one along this line before you switch gears? Ed, you know, I'm of the belief that maybe, you know, Tomlin runs a little bit too loose of a ship. I do believe that. I think it's had a little bit of an effect. Is it too late for him to get tougher? Can he get tougher? Can he, you know, not necessarily change who he is, but demand a little more accountability of these guys, or is it too late for that?
No, he could, you know, not slam the door in their face, but close it a little tighter. You know what I mean? Just make them squeeze through it a little more rather than have it wide open. But again, he was the one leading the band last year with that interview with Tony Dungy.
Ed, were you aware of the way Antonio Brown felt about Bruce Arians before he put those comments out on Instagram last week and even took a slight shot at Mike Tomlin in the way he treated him his rookie year? Did you know that he had this kind of chip on his shoulder and maybe resentment regarding those two coaches?
No, although Bob Labriola of Steelers.com wrote this the other day that Arians wanted to cut him in 2010. I had never heard that one either. And Bob wouldn't have written that if it weren't true, believe me, because he has people to answer to in there too.
Right.
So, you know, that seemed to jive with what Antonio Brown was complaining about with Arians. His thing with Tomlin, I didn't take it as a real swipe. I took it as maybe just it motivated him. Mm-hmm. That might be why he wrote that.
Ed, you talked to Randy Fichtner yesterday. Is he going to let Ben do quarterback sneaks this year?
I asked him that, and he laughed. And he said, I don't know, we'll see about that. But then he said, but I don't want him to get touched. So, you know, maybe it's an organizational thing that they just don't want him to do those.
Ed, it was a great piece you did on him. I found it very so readable. He seems to have the right mentality going in here because, as you point out, everybody in town is the offensive coordinator. And I don't know. I think the head coach gets the most scrutiny. I can't decide if the offensive coordinator or the quarterback comes in second, but he's right up there. And Fichtner seems ready for to get second guessed on every single call.
Yeah, he does. He has a good sense of humor about it, Ron. You know, Randy's more laid back, much more laid back than Todd Haley, although I don't think Todd, that ever bothered him, the criticism either. Randy's done it at Arkansas State in Memphis, and he said, you know, he would go out in the parking lots and people would, depending on what the outcome was, people would, you know, maybe say, complain about some of his play calling. But that's Arkansas State and Memphis. That's not the Pittsburgh Steelers. So, you know, every offensive coordinator from Tom Moore, that was the first one Noel had, Ron. All along the line, they've all been critics, criticized, and everybody has a better idea of the plays they should call. Not too many on defense because they really don't know what plays they're calling out there.
Well, it's so funny you say. I remember I talked to Arians once and quoted him as saying, you know, you never hear in a bar somebody say Dick LeBeau shouldn't have blitzed there or something like that. But you say, any play I call and it didn't work, we should have done something else. It's fascinating, the dynamics of that. But that goes with the turf. It absolutely does, and I agree with you. Arians loved it. I think he even relished it, and I think Todd didn't care much about it either, but maybe he cared about his relationship with Ben. It certainly seems like Ben and Fichtner are going to have a much better relationship from the start.
Well, Fichtner called him a friend and said he'll be my friend long after we're done with this. So, yeah, they are friends. I don't know that that's going to hurt. I think at times maybe the Todd-Ben relationship may have hurt a few things. I'm not quite sure. But nevertheless, I think everybody's happy that Fichtner was promoted to this job. I'm talking about people inside the players and coaches in front office.
Ed, when we were at training camp last year, Ben told us about the advantages of having the offensive coordinator up in the press box because of the view you got of the field. Do you think that they'll put Fichtner up there, or do you think he'll be on the sidelines?
Well, I asked him yesterday where he was going to go. He said, we haven't worked that out yet. And he said there's advantages to each. When you're on the sideline, you're more immediate. You can communicate with them. He said, but with all the communications we have now, that's really not that much of a problem. And upstairs, you do. You see the field better and everything else. He said he's going to do a little bit of both in the preseason and try him out, see what he prefers. But up there is where he has been, when he was quarterback's coach.
Ed, speaking of quarterback's coach, did you ask him why they're not hiring one and if he feels like being the coordinator/quarterback's coach is okay?
Yeah, you know, Ron, I didn't work this into my story, but they hired this kid, Sims, I can't remember his first name.
Matt Sims.
Yeah, from one of the southern schools, and he was a quarterback.
He's Phil's. He's one of Phil's kids.
I don't think he spells it the same way. I don't think it is one of Phil's kids.
Okay. I'm looking at his bio, and it says that's his dad.
But it does.
It does. Yeah.
It's spelled S-I-M-M-S?
Yes, Matt Sims.
Oh, somebody else spelled it wrong then yesterday. I didn't look at it much. I mean, I remember when they hired him. He played quarterback, and he's a what they used to call quality control coach. You know, it's kind of like a grad assistant almost in college. But anyway, Randy said he's going to help out with the quarterback stuff.
How's Rudolph looked?
I talked to one person who is pretty knowledgeable here and watches all the practices, and he said he's been the best rookie quarterback they've had, as a rookie quarterback, you know, like when Landry Jones was his first year, that kind of thing. And, you know, it's not saying a whole lot because they haven't had any high draft picks. He's the highest one since Ben. But nevertheless, they've seen some good things from him so far.
All right, how's Poppy?
He's got a little right paw issue right now. We're trying to figure out, Ron, and I'm a little disappointed. I called our vet, and the girls there, they said, we can't take him this week. We can't do it till next Wednesday. So we're keeping an eye on it.
Wow, do they know who they're talking to? Do they know who this client is?
Well, it's not... Doesn't look serious yet.
Is he limping?
If it gets any worse, yeah, a little bit here.
See, then you got to get him right in.
Sometimes he limps, sometimes he doesn't.
Well, Ed.
I don't know what it is.
We appreciate you taking time. I assume, you got two more days and then vacation till the start of training camp?
You got it, Ron.
Have a great one, man. We'll be in touch. Thank you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.